Hi, everyone. Welcome to Taz Talk, the show where we talk about the Adventure Zone podcast. Today, we're talking about Amnesty Episode 17. I guess I just want to say right off the bat that I love Billy, and I want him to be safe. And I want them to protect him a lot. And that's how I feel about that.
You know, I had a feeling that this was going to be a fun episode to talk about on Taz Talk, because I mean, I don't know if you've been listening to all of our Amnesty coverage, furries and forest animals are kind of our thing. So
it's not just specifically, like, again, I love anthropomorphic animals, mm-hmm. not denying that, but it's more like the whole gimmick of just like, he's just like an adorable half sentient creature. I don't know, there's like a weird like alien aspect to it.
All right, let's dive in right on in. I mean, we're already talking about Billy, you might as well analyze Billy.
All right, Billy. There are, so Billy is not from Sylvain.
Nope.
There are three goatmen.
Yep.
Total. They are apparently trying to grow something.
Yeah.
They are not the source of the magical accidents.
Yeah, that threw me.
Which we suspected the yeah. whole time.
Yeah, but like, but I fail to see a at this very moment, I fail to see a relationship between the magical accidents and the goats and whatever it is they're growing. Like, I'm trying to think, like, what kind of cryptid would require growth and would make accidents happen.
Like my yeah, first, I don't know. I mean,
my first thought was like a mandrake, but I'm like, that's not how that works.
So I don't think it has to be a cryptid necessarily, because so far the sylphs have been based on cryptids, but the abominations have just been Griffin's inventions, as far as I know.
Wait a minute, hold on. So I thought bomb-bombs were sylphs that went in, that crossed the gate and became feral.
Or we don't know that.
Was that a theory?
Theory. I have speculated that that is the case, but that is definitely not for certain. I think we don't know where they come from. And again, it got reaffirmed in this episode that Thacker was trying to do research on them while he was in Sylvain and could not find out where they're from.
Okay. I took that to mean he couldn't figure out what was making them corrupt, or
that's possible.
Yeah.
I don't think it's been like, that's something that I've been speculating about and we've talked a lot about on this podcast, but I don't think there's any necessary, like, there's no evidence that the abominations are from Sylvain.
I guess so. I guess part of me thinks, you know, the whole logo of the campaign is that big gate, and I get it. Like, that gate leads to Sylvain. And uh-huh. I always figured, like, when Griffin mentioned, like, their whole debate about should we tell Mama, should we not tell Mama, how would Mama feel about, like, this thing being among her, like, I wouldn't have thought that Mama would have perceived Billy as the bomb-bomb, because I was thinking, well, but he's not from Sylvain. Like, he's a goat man. He's a earth cryptid, you know? But I guess,
well, we don't know for a fact that there are earth cryptids. I mean, that's also something that we speculated about, but
I mean, that's true. I mean, don't... I guess not being from Sylvain doesn't necessarily automatically mean that you're from Earth. That's true. Like, you could just be from Goatland. Yeah.
Not in this world.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, one thing to consider is that so in the last episode, Minerva seemed pretty convinced that the goats and the rest of the abominations were the same, part of the same, I think, part of the, she thought they were part of the same force or group or creature that had been attacking her planet. So if that's the case, okay, here's what I really think about these goat people. Griffin, when he was talking about Thacker's research, and kind of describing stuff in the book, made a point to say that, like, well, this is actually something that's interesting, is that he made the distinction between the Sylvans and the Beast Folk, mm-hmm. which I forget if we had that distinction, like, cut cleanly before.
I think we had speculation.
Yeah. But he, like, really specifically talked about how the Beast Folk were earth animals that got transformed over a couple of generations. Yeah. And that the Billy and the other goats are kind of bigger than Vincent, but otherwise look pretty similar to Vincent. So I'm guessing what I would guess is that the abominations are from somewhere else, but that these goats somehow came into contact with Sylvan magic while on Earth.
See, and maybe they drank from the spring, I guess.
Yeah, that's something that we talked about in the last episode as like a possibility, I think, yeah. When we were trying to figure out what was going on with these guys.
Yeah, which would kind of explain why they're kind of like half there. Like, they aren't as sophisticated as Vincent, but, you know, maybe yeah. It's because they've never been to Sylvain. So they can't really draw on... Yeah, maybe they're in the
process.
Yeah, maybe they can't, like, draw on the crystal specifically.
I want to talk about the stuff in Thacker's book.
Yeah. Well, because I think... I had a thing, but then it ran away from me.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It'll come back, probably.
Okay. Okay, so one thing that I believe we already knew, because Griffin said it like we already knew, but I got reminded of, and mm-hmm. it bears repeating, mm-hmm. is that apparently that when alive sylphs die, they, in the presence of the crystal, then they become phantoms and they get to live on as phantoms. Did we meet someone at Amnesty Lodge who's a phantom but hasn't appeared for like 10 episodes?
No, I don't think so. Wait, when they say phantom... Did I make this up, or is this a thing Griffin said? But do they live inside the crystal, or do they just are they are now ghosts?
I thought he said that too, but I don't think so. I think I had to rewind, and I don't think that's what he said. Okay, I think they're just ghosts.
Do you want to pause the episode again so we can listen?
No, but if you really want, if you have to, we can.
No, I don't even know where I would start. Like, I can't even think of where in the episode that would be. The only other ghost that sticks out in my mind is. Parsons, cashews,
from Dust.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to look this up on the wiki after, but I have a vague memory that there was a sylph at the lodge that was like a ghost and that they've talked about death before, but maybe. I don't remember.
Someone playing a piano?
I don't remember. Another thing that's interesting is that if the sylph dies on Earth's side, away from the crystal, do they then experience permadeath?
I think so.
That also sounds weirdly familiar and like this was discussed in a previous episode.
I don't know that it was, but that would make sense as to why, like, that would make them being exiled to Earth, that's why it's so bad. That's why, like, that's why they take it as seriously as they do, is because... If you get banished there and you die, that's it. Like Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, that would make sense. I don't remember the plot of Wreck-It Ralph
That is the plot of Wreck-It Ralph, sorry.
I see. That movie's totally different than I remember, apparently. So the main thing that I wanted to talk about from the book, though, is that Griffin divided the inhabitants of Sylvain into the Sylvans. I don't know if he meant to say sylphs or if sylphs describes both the Sylvans and the beast folk. I'm getting confused with the terminology here because I've said Sylvans a bunch of times accidentally forgetting that sylphs was the term. So I'm not sure if Sylvans and sylph are distinct in Griffin's mind. But anyway,
I think
he said that the Sylvans were the vampiric, more humanoid, magically imbued beings, and that the beast folk were the people who used to be earth animals but then found their way into Sylvain and then transformed over a couple of generations. So Dany is obviously a Sylvan because she talked about being a vampire.
Yes.
And Vincent is a beast folk, clearly, and there was also like a squirrel man I think we met.
Yes.
And since the interpreter, the teenager girl, looks human as far as I remember, like pretty human, I'm guessing she's a Sylvan too. What is Barclay?
Bigfoot?
Yeah, but is he a Sylvan?
I don't even know if he's from Sylvain.
I'm sure he's from Sylvain. He had that chunk of the crystal, right?
Yeah, but we don't know that he got that from Sylvain.
I guess that's true.
I still think maybe somehow, because a chunk of that crystal is missing, someone stole parts of the crystal and like brought it, I don't know.
I don't know if we have any reason to believe Barclay is not from Sylvain, but honestly, anything's possible. That's true. So.
Yeah. Well, so that's kind of the weird thing too is, because now we've kind of established that there are Earth cryptids and there are Sylvains and Sylvans, like, I can't just assume that anyone that isn't straight up human is from Earth or from Sylvain.
Well, I feel like, so here's what I think. I think if there was somebody living at Amnesty Lodge that was not from Earth or Sylvain, that would have come up, unless it's a secret.
Yeah, I would assume it's a secret.
Oh, okay. I would assume that you meant maybe it was just like, well, Griffin never said he was from Sylvain, so, but no, I understand. Okay, so maybe he's like,
at this point, we don't know enough about anything that,
yeah, I mean, like legit, all I have to go on
is, well, Griffin didn't explicitly tell me, so I can assume that maybe the possibility that he isn't is, you know, it's there.
Yeah, like Indrid Cold, what does he look like when he's not in his disguise?
Oh, that's true. We haven't actually seen him without.
Does he look like a Mothman?
I assume so. Yeah. Well, in that case,
is he a beast folk or a Sylvan?
I also think
that I have a lot of questions about this distinction.
I think that there are also like other kind of sylphs.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. Maybe when Griffin was talking about vampiric, more humanoid, he was just counting like all of the. No, I don't know.
I think he, like, to me anyway, it seemed like those are the people who, like, they are more humanoid. So, yeah. Like, I would think a Bigfoot would be, like, a creature, kind of like a thing. And then maybe a Mothman would also be, like, a creature, kind of like a thing, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder how that works. I hope we find out more about that later.
I hope so, too. Yeah, that's kind of the thing that I look really forward to, is like establishing more of like the ground rules of how to talk about the sylphs. Because like you and I both know, like, we're kind of grasping at straws here as far as what it means to be a sylph, or what like capacity the Sylvains have. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of new terms, and we don't fully understand it just yet. But I don't know that we have to right now. You know, we're still only on episode 17.
I don't think so. Yeah, of course. So speaking of vampires, Thacker can crawl on the ceiling like a vampire. And he's way creepier than I remember him being.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that he was like beyond acting like out of reason, like acting insane, for lack of a better word. But I forgot if we already saw him like get creepy.
I don't think we did. I think
That was weird.
In this time that we've seen him, he's only ever been just chilled on the counter behind the net.
Yeah.
So I guess speaking of Thacker though, and like that whole thing, I did want to just mention that I liked how Griffin like figured out how to make Aubrey's like potion slinging. How to, like, make it jive.
That was hilarious.
Dude, I thought that was cool, because, I think we've talked before about how we said that a lot of compromise and a lot of the conversations that can happen in these sort of tabletop RPGs, they kind of, like, make the audio, like, it doesn't make for good audio and stuff, but, like, them actively being, like, Travis just being, like, well, I want to say that, you know, I've... Anytime that I'm down here, I'm working on potions. And then Griffin being just straight up like, if I give that to you, that's another arrow in your quiver. I was like, oh, that's a good, that's a good point, DM. It's like, this is super, like, I don't know, maybe I just matured. But it's like, it's really cool to see them, like, collaboratively being creative together.
Nice. I think Griffin is really candid about a lot of the process. Like, he says when they, like, kind of later when they're with Indrid and they're trying to ask him what's going on, Griffin just straight up says, like, you are asking me, the DM or the GM, to just tell you what the mystery is. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
They were really jokey in this episode. This episode was really funny.
I think that's why it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, they did a lot of wisecracking and goofing around.
Justin's song, that was great.
Yeah. I don't know what that was. That was like a parody of something, right?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
You think it was just made up?
Just Justin being Justin.
Yeah, I haven't listened to enough of Mabim Bam to understand that aspect of Justin's sense of humor. Is it not? I don't know. I was thinking, like, maybe he makes up songs all the time in Mabim Bam, and that's why, like...
Maybe not all the time. Maybe, like, once every 50 episodes.
Okay.
Although there was recently, like, an episode where they had to make up ice cream songs, and Griffin just like hit it out of the park, like no big deal at all, whatever. But just I'll send you the animation. Louis Zong did a really great animation of it, and that's like my note for this is I hope Louis does an animation for the Destiny song because it's delightful.
Louis is so great. I actually don't really know his like Mabimbam stuff as well as I just used to like follow him on Tumblr and heard a lot of his original music.
Yeah.
And he's great.
Yeah.
Very talented person.
Yeah. All right.
Go
ahead.
For it.
Oh, okay.
No, you go ahead.
Well, it's just, my next note was, are the goat people the bonbons?
No, I don't think so. So this is something that, you know, we kept talking about, obviously, yeah, over and over, trying to figure out. And I think we thought that the players might have thought so too, but I'm pretty sure like in this episode when they were talking to Indrid was basically trying to like Angus Boy Detective guide them through solving the mystery and was saying like, now does the power to make like change destiny and make those accidents happen, does that seem like something this goat person could do? You know, like,
yeah.
No, it doesn't. So I'm pretty sure like where this is leading is that they're going to try to get Billy to take them to the thing that they're growing, which would ostensibly be the abomination. Oh, yeah. Another thing that I should probably mention, which was pointed out by Indrid, is that the accidents are can be targeted apparently and are happening with intent, which seems like an important piece of information, because that would mean that whatever is causing the accidents, goats or no goats, is like sentient, has like autonomy, is like acting with thought behind their actions, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they aren't just acting randomly.
Yeah, it's not like instinctual or something, which seemed more
sophisticated.
Like the way that the grease monster and the water monster, the way they acted seemed more like animalistic to me.
Yes. Is this the third? Is this only the third bonbon that they've
had?
Man, I feel like the water monster was a lifetime ago.
I know, it's crazy.
But
I guess it's because many episodes has it been so far since?
Maybe like,
has it been like four or five episodes since this one started?
Yeah, at this point they were already trying to wrap up the water monster.
Yeah,
this one's
so that's like two and a half a month.
Yeah,
more than that because of the live show. So yeah, it has been fucking forever. And as much as 3 months is like forever ago.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't feel like it's taking too long. Like when you listen to it, no, I'm like, yeah, that's a logical progression of events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I loved the jump cut to Indrid's after they lied to Barclay.
You know,
that was fucking funny. That made me, I got a lot of good chuckles out of this episode. That part was really funny.
Duck's just letting it all happen.
Yeah. The Ryan Gosling bit.
Oh my God.
Oh man, I fucking lost it. Because just like the idea that this bumbling half animal goat man turns into a, like, good-looking human is fucking hysterical to me. The whole bit is so funny. And even funnier is the idea, like, afterward, Indrid goes, oh, I must have just been thinking of Ryan Gosling. The idea that Indrid Cold is doing some magical tinkering and just, like, casually thinking about Ryan Gosling, just, like, an errant thought, that's fucking hysterical. I love that.
Yeah.
So that whole thing. And then they go on with the fucking movie title bit. Which, I don't know, it's like, it's not really puns, but it's like pun adjacent, so I'm assuming you enjoyed it.
Oh, I loved it.
I guess I have one last thing in my notes that I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
Which is, so, up until now, we've had a bunch of sylphs in disguise as humans, and they have, like, a magical article of clothing that keeps them in disguise, which apparently Indrid can make these. I don't know who made the rest of them, but apparently I don't know if every sylph can
Indrid's
just make
made
one.
All of them too. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does Mama know Indrid?
We haven't established that yet. I assume so, but we don't know.
Okay.
But also, we talked about this in like the last episode. Like, why wouldn't Mama tell them about Indrid sooner if Indrid can like help them find bonbons?
Yeah, that's right. I get the feeling that Indrid, I mean, he doesn't live at Amnesty Lodge, so no. I get the feeling he's kind of like outcast or something. It's not clear, but I feel like the relationship is weird if it exists.
See, and okay, well, I know we were going to go on
something. No, go for it.
Oh, okay. Well, so that's the thing about like Mama. Like she spent all this time fighting bomb bombs, but she doesn't really seem to be involved with their bomb bombs. Like what else is she doing that isn't
That's a good point.
Helping
Maybe
them.
We're going to find that out.
So that's why like when Griffin was like, "Yeah, she spent all of her adult life, all like the past 30 years like fighting bomb bombs." And I'm like, "But she hasn't been here for any of the bomb bombs. Like why isn't she more invested? Like why isn't like
what?" I'm going to say here's my guess about that. Yeah. So Thacker disappears for some number of years to do research in Sylvain, leaving Mama and Barclay alone to take care, to be the Pine Guard and take care of the Abominations. My guess is that now that Mama has recruited this young blood, relatively young, actually, never mind, not that young, only one of them.
Some of them are young, yeah.
Yeah. How old is Duck again? Like late 30s?
Mid-30s, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think it might be for her, like, her opportunity to, like, fucking hit the books. I've got these other kids on the case. I can get back to, like, trying to complete the research Thacker started, trying to, like, find out. We can't just fight them forever. We got to figure out how to, like, get rid of them, how to close the gate, how to, like, fix the problem, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That would be my guess, is that she is now doing more, like, there's a word I'm looking for, but, like, doing the research.
Yeah, doing the research. You know? I mean, like, I don't need to see a scene of them, like, having to lie to Mama. I just kind of wish, I don't know, that there would
Where the hell is she at?
Yeah. Like, it just seems kind of odd. And this goes along with the whole, like, well, why is Billy even a secret to begin with? But I guess it's because Mama would get mad. But, like,
I think Griffin made it pretty clear.
I mean, I guess it's just I don't fall. Like, that's not a reason I would lie, you know? So I guess that's.
Really?
No, yeah. Because I would think, like, oh, cool, Mama's back. Okay, let's rely on Mama because she's the person to rely on.
I don't know, like, based on what Griffin told them that they knew about Mama's attitude toward the Abominations, if I were Duck, I might be afraid that Mama would pull out her shotgun and blow Billy's head off. Like, that's where I'm coming from on this.
I mean,
this.
I guess that is a concern, but also, like, if they tell her, hey, Mama, we legit do not know what this mystery is supposed to be, like, I think she would kind of be like, okay, well, let's take a step back and see what we can get, you know? Like, I don't know. Like they're making Mama out to be a character that I wouldn't have expected her to be, or for other people to expect her to be.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. The truth is that we don't know her that well on some level, I guess.
Yeah.
So
Barclay is making her out to seem like a very like impulsive, like quick to action, and I guess maybe on some level maybe she's shown us that she has been, but she's also been tracking the bomb bombs for 30 years. Like, that's a lot of experience and knowledge that they aren't really incorporating.
Maybe we'll get some more information later and then we can figure it out.
Probably.
I think that's it for now.
Yeah. Rach, where can people find us?
If you would like to get in contact with us, you can send us an email at TazTalkPodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on Tumblr at TazTalk.tumblr.com, and you can also look us up on iTunes. And what about Twitter, Chelsea?
We're on Twitter. We are at TazTalkPodcast. You know, I think that's it.
I think that's it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hopefully, we'll get some more juicy questions out of the next episode.
We end every episode with wanting more.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.